Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about living before you're dying. Do you wait till the last minute, the last few days, the last few months, till you get a diagnosis, or someone or something in your life shakes you to your core? What is it truly all about? Is it time that you say, oh, gosh, I can finally quit the job because now I'm not able to do it. I have a diagnosis. I can leave that ex-husband. He's got a girlfriend. All good. But I didn't do it till I had a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a husband. And you're always looking for this little thread that will keep you stuck in the place you're in. What happens when you do get a diagnosis and it is end of lifetime? Do you hold on and say, they will find a miracle? They will find a way to keep me on this earth because. Can we live our life fully as today, as if there are no tomorrows in this human lifetime, knowing that our soul is eternal and this lifetime is merely a wardrobe change, a human experience, a life of existence, and just have joy and peace at all turns? Many times people will say, joy and peace, I can't have that, I'm hurting. Things are hard. They're tough. Things aren't working out how I predicted. Well, maybe those are human outcomes, and maybe we can see how can we just enjoy it for the moment. That's all really that we have. My guest today is Amy Dix. Her book is 7 More Days. Live a life that's bursting with positivity and happiness before it's too late. Amy, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Well, Amy, don't you think that your book, 7 More Days, do we wait until the end before we try to see and have those love connections, hear other people's pain, or even step into the point where we're actually paying attention to what our soul is saying?
Well, I mean, I certainly hope we don't wait until those last moments, you know. That's certainly not the way that you're going to live a very fulfilling life if you just kind of truck along until you know you're in your last days and then you try to fit it all in. You know, that's not going to work very well for you.
Right. And I think sometimes when we talk about end of life and when something happens, don't you think that we try to tend to put our thoughts, our experiences, and our fears on our loved one who might be at the end of lifetime? You know, your book, 7 More Days, shares your experience with your mother. And also, too, don't you think that when we try to do that, we put our experience on our loved ones, we're shortchanging their experience?
Yeah, I mean, when someone is at the end of their days, it's not really about us. Right. I think we see that a lot. And we saw that, you know, with some other family members and some friends where, you know, my mom was ultimately dying and they made it about themselves. And that's just kind of, in my opinion, like the wrong path to take. It doesn't really help anyone. There's a lot of stress, you know, and anxiety and sadness. And that kind of just naturally comes during those times. But you almost like want to say, but what if we didn't surround these last days with sadness and stress? And what if instead we surrounded these days with positivity and happiness and celebration of everything right. that's come before?
Do you think we need to wait until that time? You know, I look at it, sometimes I say a loved one that passes on, if we are really engaged in the process, they are giving us the keys. It's almost like they're handing the keys over to us and saying, I would suggest you live now. Here's the keys. go out and enjoy your day. Do you know what I mean? In other words, we almost say, but do we accept them or do we stay stuck in our own fear pattern and never do wake up to that fact?
Yeah, you know, I think, like, I say this a lot, but on, like, the whole 7 more days premise, it rolls right into exactly what you're saying, which is, you know, if I said to you or if I asked you, hey, you have 10 years left to live, not just you, like the listeners too, anyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you have 10 years left to live, what would you do? You know, like, what's on your bucket list? What are the amazing things that you want to accomplish? And when I ask people that, they can rattle off a whole list of things that they would do if they had 10 years left to live. But then I say, okay, now what if I said to you, you only have 7 more days left to live? What would you do? And they sit and think about that. And then let's take it one step further. And if I said, what if you had 7 more days left to live? But by the way, you can't get out of bed. You can't get up to use the restroom. And you can't even feed yourself. Now what would you do?
Right.
The reality is, like, the answer changes so drastically. You know, we're so excited about our bucket list. We've got 10 years. Man, we could really fit in a lot of things in 10 years. But I don't think that that's realistic because I don't think that a lot of people, like, actually live their life that way. And I think the 7 more days scenario is typically what happens. You know, we find at any given point in time, we might find ourselves in a 7 more days scenario. And so the reality is you have to be good and you have to be okay and you have to be happy and proud of the life that you led up to that point because there's nothing left to do.
How about the idea that people say, well, I will never see my children graduate college or have children or be accomplished, when really aren't those the factors that society really puts on us? In other words, you could really enjoy the person for that moment, your child that you have. Or when we say, but I really need to get to that point so they will be proud of me. Mm. Well, if they aren't proud of you in that moment, then you've really got a problem. Do you know what I mean? In other words, why are we waiting for these things to be outside of us to prove our value and our worth and our love instead of having that already inside, irregardless of how it shows up? You know, a lot of times people will say, well, I never graduated high school. I have a crummy job and my kids are just like off the wall. And they'll say, fantastic. That does not change the core of who you are. That's just your outside circumstances. Don't you think that when we get stuck in that, that really brings down most people's positive atmosphere and they say, but I'm kind of stuck down here and you want me to get up there or to change or to do something differently? I can't see that. Don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're like trying to, you know, at that point, it's like you're not going to be able to play catch up, you know, in like the last, you know, days of your life. Versus the years that you lived up to that point. That's why it's so important that we live our life the way we intend it to live every single day. You know, we had like, I heard this a few times when my mom was dying was, well, I'm just so sad because at the time my brother had just had his first son. So it was my mom's only grandchild. And, you know, they were like, well, I'm just so sad she's never going to be able to see, his name's Regis grow up. And, you know, like, let's flip that, though.
Yeah.
Let's say, wow, isn't it amazing that she got to see her grandchild?
Right.
That she got to experience her grandchild? That she got to see him being born and, you know, for the first year of his life? Like, isn't that great? Because as it all unfolds, like, there may be other grandchildren to come that she would have never met. So isn't it wonderful that she got to meet him? You know, like, so it's all just, like, mindset. And we can't just, like, play catch-up at the end of our life. It's just it's just too much, right? You can only do so much, especially when you know you're dying. And in the other sense, like, you know, in my mom's case, we had 8 months from the time that she was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer until the day that she died. Now, I say a lot of times, like, how exciting that actually is and how grateful we were because not everybody gets that chance.
Right.
I mean, you know, a lot of people might go through this whole life and die instantly. So
yeah.
Aren't we lucky, right? Like, that's how I look at it. Like, aren't we lucky we got Amos?
Right. But also, too, the idea is that what is it that you actually truly are looking to stuff into that time frame? Are you looking to have human needs met on both sides of the aisle, so to speak? Or are you looking to cement memories when really isn't everything, I'm in my 60s, memories fade, you know. You could cement them all you want, but I can honestly tell you they just go away. So all of that strife and that struggle that you do to try to be able to put them in there, you know, it's like, why? So the idea is, if we can recognize someone, if we can unconditionally love them, period, that takes a split second. So whether you've got 7 days, 7 years, 9 months, whatever it might be, all of that takes is 1 second, and that's truly all there is. Yes?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's really just like, aren't you just trying to make an impact in somebody's life, you know? Like, aren't you just trying to be like a good person in life and make a difference in someone's life? And if that is for 1 sec, like to love someone, as you said, like unconditionally, that takes 1 second, you know? It's about being I just did a post on this the other day, but it's about being a good person in this world. It's about life. It's not about death. It's about life. And that's something that, if anyone's listening right now, like, or everybody who is listening right now, like, that is what it is right now for you. It is about life. Mm-hmm. It's not about death. And, yeah.
And let's talk about that, the present moment, because the present moment is truly, you know, if you say, I want to be happy when, I want to be happy if, then you're still looking in that outside projection versus saying, can I be happy? And, yeah, I'm getting evicted. Well, turn it around, reframe it, say, fantastic. I was sick of cleaning that place anyway, you know, and move on. I think the idea is to say, you know, you can take almost anything and flip it and look at it on the other side, and it will be lighter to you, and you will be able to process through it. Isn't that possibly the way to be able to have more happiness and positive times in your life, is flip everything? How can you flip every single thing that you're saying to a different side to see what it looks like?
Yeah, I mean, it's all mindset. It's all mindset. And I think it's easier for some people than others.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, science does show us that as humans, we are predisposed to negativity. And some people have, you know, a certain gene that actually makes them even more negative than others. But it's a work in progress, you know, and I think that we get to make that choice every single day. Like, take your evicted example. So you get to choose. Like, you get to choose how you want to think about that. But it's your choice. So why wouldn't you want to make the choice that is going to lead towards happiness instead of making the choice that's going to lead towards misery?
Right. You can either carry those bags of garbage to the next place with you, or you could throw everything out and get some new furniture. You know, it's all about your perception, correct?
It really
is. Isn't it not?
It really is. I mean, it all comes down to perception. Absolutely. 100%. You know, but I don't think that everybody is taught, you know, how to do that or learns how to do that. You know, some folks grow up in a very negative environment, and so they carry that with. It's like they don't even know. They don't even know they're a negative person, which is even more frustrating, I think, sometimes when you're around somebody who carries that with them and they don't even realize that they're not only bringing themselves down, but they're bringing everybody else down. And then they can't figure out why nobody wants to hang out with them, you know, because, hey, you know, you just got kind of a crappy attitude. Nobody wants that, you know.
Don't you think it also, too, now that people are living longer, it seems to be more predominant in the age groups over the age 50 versus the ones of the younger generations?
Are you saying that people over the age of 50 are more in
more downers
to happiness? Oh, more downers. Well, I would ask you, like, why do you think that is, though?
I mean, if you look at it, those that grew up in the 50s and 60s, you know, I mean, I'm in my 60s now, but our parents and grandparents, they had to fight through things. In other words,
yeah.
I survived. I walked,
right.
you know, uphill in the snow with no shoes and
yeah.
my hair was ice. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and it's
yeah,
sort
yeah.
of like, and they believe when you're sharing something of your generation, they think that they kind of diss your experience because
mm-hmm.
it wasn't in comparison to their strife.
Right.
So in
it
other
wasn't
words,
it's hard. Yeah.
Right. So are we comparing apples to apples, or are we saying, you know, I mean, this is the strife of life, and oh, you have it. I know you've heard this. Oh, you've had it so easy. You don't
oh,
know
right.
what hard means. And it's like,
right.
oh dear. You know, and it's every generation has their own set of hardness and easy, don't you think? But it's just
oh yeah, exactly. It's just different, right? They're just
right.
Different.
We've just got too many
balances.
Elders still hanging around. They haven't
yeah.
gone yet.
Yeah, but you know, again, it's still like I don't know. I still think it comes down to like your choice, you know. And,
right.
And my mom was 59 years old when she was diagnosed. And so young. I mean, I don't know. I think that's young. But
mm-hmm.
but man, I mean, she lived like this insanely positive life. Although if you look at it on paper, you would think that she should be one of the most miserable people alive, you know.
Right.
She just, you know, she had watched her grandmother die of pancreatic cancer. She was a senior in high school when her mom died of pancreatic cancer. She watched both of her brothers die of pancreatic cancer. She, you know, was by her twin sister's side through breast cancer. She was abused as a little girl. She was burned as a little girl. Her entire
right.
chest was covered in third degree burns. I mean, it's a list, and she had, you know, skin cancer and like, the
right.
list goes on and on and on. But on paper, that sounds so miserable.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, when you met her, she was the last person to be miserable, you know. So it
right.
still just comes down to choice. I mean,
it
doesn't matter what age you are, you know. She just makes that choice.
Do you think that some people tend to hold their hardships as what I call Girl Scout badges on their chest, and the longer the train, the better, you know? And some others will say, you know, I don't know. I know it's cold out today, but I want to be cold. I don't need a sweater. You know, the idea of living life full on. Those are two
yeah.
ends of the paradigm, yes?
Yeah, and, you know, and you know this too, but it's victim mode, you know, in a lot of cases. Like, it's the attention because woe is me. Like, oh,
right.
feel sorry for me because I have all these Girl Scout badges, as you put it, which I think is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great way to visualize that. But, yeah, you know, but you don't have to. Like, take those Girl Scout badges, put them in a drawer, and shut that drawer. And go
right.
live your life. And go be positive. And go make an impact on somebody. And don't bring everybody else down, you know? They don't want to hear that. I mean, it's just put them away in a drawer and move on. And I'm not saying, like, just to not deal with things, right? To just not grieve or not to deal with things that might happen in your life or put the work in. But you got to put the work in sometimes so that you can get past it and so that you can close that drawer.
Do you think that when someone learns how to be positive, it tends to cause a dissonance in those who are not? It's sort of like plugging their finger into an outlet, and they're like, "Get away from me," because they have that yeah, they have that internal like agitation. They get more
sure.
angry. They get more and it's just like, oh, just you know, go away, take your daisies, and go someplace else.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And don't
that's
you
funny.
Think that's kind of truly what I almost kind of, you know, I've lived my life. I always ask the question why to everything or something. But I kind of say it, I kind of take it on as a challenge. I'd be saying, oh, that's so cool. I stirred something up in them. And if we look at it, can we stir things up in people and say, oof, let's just walk away and see what happens? It's kind of being able to say, that could be your mission or purpose in life, is to stir up others so that they can become and see and challenge and grow. Yes?
Yes. I mean, the reality is I think people who may get annoyed, if you will, by super positive, happy people are annoyed because they're not there yet in their life, you know?
Right.
And, yeah, it's like you, sometimes I make a joke when I do speeches about, you know, I'm like, oh, you know, I own a company called the Positive Life Company. And then I'll be like, yeah, I know you're sitting there going, oh, she's one of those. You know, like just one of those happy-go-lucky people, you know, yes and no. That doesn't mean, you know, that happy people or positive people, people who make that choice, like aren't ever scared or aren't ever sad or, you know, but it's still a choice. And I think that's like the most important thing to think about when it comes to living life and being happy is it truly is a choice. And some days, man, it's harder than others to make that choice. But you get to make that choice. And that's the beautiful thing about it.
Right. It's almost like I had a visual when you said about talking about going and giving talks, that you walk in and you have one of those straw hats and it's got all these Gerber daisies and sunflowers sticking out of the top. But I just don't know where that came from.
I have
but...
a lie. Right
you
now.
Could say, yeah, but you could take that for what it is. But that's what I saw you doing.
I love that.
And I think sometimes when these things show up, let's say when somebody's really happy and really believes that their life is truly on the right path and they're doing things and it just fills their soul every day, and something happens. Let's talk about hitting the wall. What happens then? I think the idea is that do we have to continue to carry the positivity in the darkness or hitting the soul? And I usually say no, because if pain or sorrow or grief or sadness is calling you, dance with that then also.
Oh, you got it. Yeah, you know? You got it. Yeah, I mean, if you're sad, it's okay to feel sad, right? Like, it's okay. You just don't want to spin in sadness over and over and over without trying to, like, you know, climb out of it. You know, you can't just stay in that state for months and months at a time. That's all. But in a moment, if you're sad or feel down or feel stepped on or feel like you hit that wall, as you said, that's okay. Like, that is what we call life. You know, like, that is going to happen to... It does not matter to everyone, to even the most positive, happy people. It is going to happen at some point. And I do think it's okay.
It's also, too, about giving it validity, because it's absolutely essential to be valid, true, and authentic to yourself, whatever is showing up for you in that moment. And I think there's one thing I just love to banish. When people say, I'm sorry, it's sort of like I was sharing a story one day and I said something and the person said, oh, I'm so sorry. And I said, no, sorry, no worries. You know, I was just sharing. And I think the idea is that when people are having those up or down times and they want to share with someone else, maybe change and not say I'm sorry, because that's really not what they're looking for. They're looking to be just to share their story, to be heard. And it's to say, oh, I hear you. Can you tell me more? Wouldn't that like change the conversation? It's like, I mean, I have this list of words that are going to get banished, and I'm sorry is one of them. It's got to go. Don't you think that truly that's about it's got to go?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I love this conversation, like the stupid people, or this not the stupid people, the stupid things that people say to you, and it's not their fault, they just don't know, but
they just don't know that they can change it.
Yeah, right. Like, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, I'm so sorry your mom died, or whatever, I'm so sorry for your loss, or something like that. And I'm like, but are you sorry? Like, what? No. Like, I was just telling the story. And, like, sometimes, that was so beautiful. I'm so happy you said that, because, like, how can we just change it? Like, oh, I'm listening, or thank you for sharing. You know, like, that's all. Because sometimes you take, I think the other person takes the moment, or the message, I should say, away from what it is that you're trying to say. So, like, you're sharing a message about, whatever it is, I'm just going to use my mom as an example just because it's easy for me. But, you know, sharing a story about my mom dying, glioblastoma, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, no. Don't be sorry. Listen to what I'm saying.
That's right.
Listen to how awesome her life was. Like, I wasn't.
That's right.
Don't be sorry that she died. That's not what I was trying to tell you. And now you just completely killed the conversation.
Yeah. I think sometimes when they say that, it's almost like shutting the door. In other words, they didn't listen to a thing that your soul was saying. They were just stuck in their response for their ego, you know?
Yes. Yes. So true. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of other just funny, not funny, but like just things that I might have done a blog post on. I'm going to go back and look, but I've often thought about this a lot. It's just like, hey, these are the things that you just shouldn't say to somebody in those scenarios,
right.
You know, and that's definitely one of them.
Don't you think also, too, when you say, oh, you know, I've really had a hard day, this, and this happened, they're going, oh, my gosh, that's horrible. You know, I'm really sorry. And I'm going, oh, gosh. Stop, you know, I just wanted to share how my day was. How was yours, you know?
Yeah, right. Yes. Yes, it's a conversation killer. Like, that's the best way I can say that.
Yeah.
It's
interesting. Well, you know what also, too, Amy, when we talk about, I think with the word victim, a lot of times people say, I can see that person is a victim. However, you don't ever hear anybody say, I feel like the victim, you know?
That's so interesting.
You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
They, in other words, they don't wear the badge around saying that. What they're saying is that I'm in a space, I am feeling A, B, C, and D. What the outside person is saying, A, B, C, and D qualifies you to now fit into this diagnosis, and that's what you are in my head. And it's sort of like, well, how dare you restrict, confine, or diagnose my presence today. Don't you think that's so dehumanizing for people to do that?
You know, I really do, and I think that it's not up to that person to decide, right? Like,
right.
It's not up to you to decide that or to bring other people down. And, you know, I know we were talking about earlier about the black hole story, but I think that helps illustrate this point, too. It's like, at the end of my mom's life, she would say, I just feel like I'm in a black hole and nobody will join me. And what she was trying to say was like, nobody understands me right now. You know, like nobody gets it. And like people are, and she would tell me a couple times, like people just don't, she'd be like, Amy, people just don't know what to say. You know, like when they come visit her, they just don't know what to say. And so they were projecting their sadness onto my mom, and my mom was just like wanted to just hang out with these people, you know, and like have a normal conversation. Yeah, she's dying, she gets it, like she knows it. She doesn't need you to come in and be sad and like project your feelings onto her, you know, and like view her as the victim. Like that's not what she wanted, you know. And so I think that really helps illustrate that. And it's not up for us to decide that my mom was the victim, because, you know, my mom didn't see it that way. She saw it as she lived this awesome life and she was ready to go on to the next chapter. I mean, she was very clear about not being afraid to die. So if a lady is, you know, laying there and she's not afraid to die, she knows she's dying, and you want to project, you know, that onto her, I don't know that that's like what she wanted at that point, you know. But people just don't know. People just don't know.
Let's talk about people who, at the end of their life, they do want quiet and peace, and they do want to be able to have their death to be as they have had it planned. Do you know what I mean? And in other words, they spent a lot of time in their life constructing their exit plan. And I think sometimes we need to also honor them also in that plan and understand that is what they truly wish. However, I've also seen at the end of life working with clients is that exit plan can sometimes get chucked out the door the minute you enter the hospital or hospice or any palliative care program, because you turn around and you say, you know what, that's what I thought, but man, I don't want to do that. Or, yes, I do want to do that. Don't you think to have the freedom to be able to follow the person's lead at the end of life, wherever that takes them, and just to be an observance of it instead of having to say, I need to control it for them?
Wow, that is a really powerful conversation, because I think that other people bring the chaos at end of life. It's usually not the person who is in the end of their life. It's everybody else who brings the chaos. And, you know, I'm just going to go back to, if it's okay, I'm just going to go back to my mom and tell kind of that story. But we were, again, very thankful and lucky that she was coherent for most of her 8 months there, where she got to make the decision. You know, she got to choose, and she would tell us her wishes, and she would say, I'm ready to go into hospice, you know?
Right.
And I think, I don't think I realized how amazing our family was until we really kind of went through all that, because I truly started to understand how other family dynamics in other families might have played out differently. Mm-hmm. But it really is like, it was her choice, and it's not, it really is not up to us to say, no, you shouldn't do that, or think again. You know, I think that when it's obvious that you are at the end of your life, like, look, the outcome is going to be the same, no matter how you do it. So let's make this the way you want it, you know, even to the point of we weren't even sure if she was going to even, like, do radiation, chemo, and treatment. Look, she had seen so many people die of cancer before, and what that does, you know, and so we weren't even sure what she was going to decide, but we decided as a family that whatever her choice was, we were going to support it, you know, and so I think that that was really important up to her decision of going into hospice, and she wanted to go, and that was A-okay with us, because it was not up to us. It's up to us to support those decisions, because you're right. It's that person who wants that peace, you know, at the end of their life. And however it is that they want that, we're just there to help facilitate it. That's how I looked at it.
Right. And also, too, at the end of life, it's not about clearing up other our failures in the face of others that are going. In other words, you know, when people visit someone that's at the end of lifetime and they say, oh, I'm sorry I did this, I'm sorry I did that, and they've got a litany of lists, you know, and it's sort of like, are you looking for confession? That the church is down the street, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, are you seriously kidding me? You're doing this now, right? It's sort of like, what God are you trying to get your soul redeemed from? You know, right?
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, I think of it like this: if that happens, first of all, I guess good on you for at least attempting. But you know, at the end of life. However, if you think of it this way, this is how I might think of it. It's like, okay, if insert whoever you love or whoever in your life is going to die in the next we'll just say 7 more days. And you only have 7 more days with them. And just think about what it is that you want to say to them. If what you want to say to them is, I'm sorry and I shouldn't have, then today is the day to call them and do it now. Right?
Right.
And because you don't want to be in that situation. Yeah, that's really funny. The church is down the street.
Right. But also, the person that's getting ready to pass on has nothing to do with that other person's issues. Do you know what I mean? In other words, if they're carrying all that schmutz around and they need to feel better about themselves, go into your garbage somewhere else. It's sort of like, it's almost like they come in and they dump their garbage on those that are passing, you know, transition time. And it's sort of like, please take your garbage somewhere else, you know?
Right. Again, it's not about you.
Yeah.
Right? It's about them. Or, you know, vice versa, but like, or not vice versa, meaning it's not about you dumping your garbage. It's about this person transitioning, as you just said, or passing along, whatever it is that you believe. But yeah, and so why are you putting that on somebody in their last days of life on earth? You know?
Right. Like,
so it's just, it's a very selfish point of view to come from.
Right, right. Let's talk for a minute, Amy, about being positive, and when you have now handed over those keys, what do you think the family should do with those keys? I think they should go out and they should really try to use those keys to help others see how to be positive, how to share the story, how to reframe, how to make changes. Because just as your mother handed you the keys, you're now using those keys to be on this radio show. You've written your book, Seven More Days, and you're able to go out and speak about it. So don't you think that if you've been given a key, use it?
Yeah, go find the door and stick it in there and unlock the door and
right.
See the opportunities. You know, I think although the keys that my mom passed on to me and turned into a book and a company and speaking and, you know, all this other stuff, that doesn't mean that that's the way everybody needs to do it, right?
Right.
So
right.
No matter what keys are handed to you, whatever works for you, whatever is authentic to you, run with it. Go with it, even if it's small, you know, but just, you don't have to go and speak on big stages or go write a book or whatever, you know, you don't have to do that. But, unless that's what you want to do, of course, you know, and that's like in your wheelhouse, but you know, it's about making a difference in the world. Right. So
yeah.
It's about like continuing on that legacy with those keys. You know, it's not about putting those keys in a drawer and shutting that drawer with your Girl Scout badges. That's not what it's about. And so go find a way that makes sense for you to continue to spread that message and to continue the legacy. I mean, you know, if somebody's dying, they hand you those keys and you feel that and you feel
right.
drawn to that message, man, this world's in chaos. Go spread the good news.
Yeah. And truly, you know, I think the idea is about being able to say, you're honoring the person who has passed by doing that. So if you honor them in your heart and your soul, that truly helps heal your soul. A lot less people will have broken heart syndrome. And we also find that they're not attached to the old stories. They say, I'm out ready to create good. Therefore, your book about positivity is about creating the good and to shake off a lot of that residue that might have been stuck around the event. Don't you think that we say, do we create something going forward from a misery and then use that as a fear or a power kind of tool, where in yours you've used it as a key to open a door to lightness or positive or going forward or helping or service? Don't you think those are two totally different things?
Yeah, I mean, it all comes back to choice again. You know, I mean, you could choose to sit here and go, you know, oh, I lost my mom and woe is me. And I'm, you know, she's never going to see me do X, Y, Z and I'll never have her by my side anymore. You can make those choices and you can spread right. that message to the world. Or you can say, man, my mom was an awesome lady. She taught me this. Here's how she lived a positive life. Like, let's all go make a difference in the world. You know, so it still just comes down to choice, just like everything else in life, you know. So let's go out and, like, make a difference, because that is how we're going to change the world.
Right, but also, too, even if you have people that have passed on and they weren't so good, say, you know what? Fantastic. I hope she now finds the peace she's looking for. And you know what? Let me show you how you can also have that peace now. And isn't that, you could take it both ways. You know, you could really say.
Yeah, that's powerful.
You don't have to take it that way. Because many times when they say, well, they were terrible in their life and they're going to be terrible when they get to heaven. No, they've now needed to find peace there. And then maybe
that's not for you to judge. You
that's
know?
Right. It has nothing to do with you. Zero.
Once again. Yeah. Once again, it's not about you. You know, that's all very, very powerful in everything that you said. And just in, I think, like a common theme here is like, it's not about you. And
right.
life, you know, is not about you. Death is not about you. you know, and if you can get outside of yourself and realize that, that's when this world becomes a better place.
Right, right. Well, Amy, it was such a pleasure to talk to you today, because I think sometimes people think these conversations need to be hush-hush. It's woo-woo, don't say it. How dare you? You're dissing my religion. You're saying something terrible. Go away. And many times people will say around the, you know, the time of life and death is like, oh, don't dare. And it's sort of like, goodness gracious, you know, it's we seem to squelch things down. And I think when we do that, it's sort of like they're just bursting to come forth. So
yeah.
I think that our conversation today was really about making light, enjoying, being, reframing, transforming, transitioning. And all of these things are about the web of life and death versus saying it's a linear path and, oh, that's where you got to go, right?
Oh, that's so beautifully said. The web of, would you say the web of life and death and not
yeah.
a linear path? That's
yeah.
awesome. Yeah.
Well, Amy, it was such a pleasure to have you with us here today. Could you share with the listeners how to find out more information about your work?
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to thepositivelifeco.com. That's thepositivelifeco.com. And I would invite all listeners to take the 5-day positivity challenge. So you can see more about that. You can also get 7 more days on Amazon.
Well, Amy, it was such a pleasure to have you with us. We will talk another time, and we're going to talk about the joys of death. Or how
yes,
to,
let's do it.
Right, or what to say, how to do it, and be able to say, we are going to change this conversation once and for all, right?
Yes, I look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. If you'd like to find out more information about Amy Dix, again, her book is 7 More Days, Live a Life That's Bursting with Positivity and Happiness. Before it's too late, please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page to go directly to her website. And it truly is about changing for the split second, the moment you have. If you're the beginning, the end, the middle, you're up or down, no matter where you are, you have the choice in that moment. Say, you know what? I'm at peace. I'm happy. I'm just going to sit here and just breathe. Isn't truly that what life is all about? Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.